I'm very happy to be joined today by the one and only Adam Kinzinger, former Republican representative and the star of the new documentary, The Last Republican. Adam, how are you doing today?
Hey, it's the First Name Club. I'm good, brother. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. First of all, thank you for making the time, sir. We chatted early on in my career, and it was a formative chat for me because, I don't know, just the way that you explained a lot of the stuff going on in Ukraine and the way that we chatted really helped guide me in the right direction. So
you're doing great. You're doing great, by the way. Like, everybody knows this, but I'm telling you, you're doing great. Pop it up on my social media feed everywhere.
That's exactly what we need to do. That means a lot. That's great. That's perfect. That means we're winning. But first of all, explain The Last Republican, where people can find it and what the documentary is about.
Yeah. So listen, I had like 100 people that requested to do documentaries after, you know, the impeachment vote. I said no to all of them, except for this company, MCDC. And the director, Steve Pink, who did Hot Tub Time Machine, which is one of my favorite movies. And so I agreed to it. And because their interest in following my family and I wasn't about like the January 6th timeline necessarily. It was like the human impact of what we were doing. And I'm like, that's a story that needs to be told. And so I agreed to do that. So they followed us through all the January 6th hearing stuff. You know, you get to see the human impact, the death threats that come in. My wife has a kid in the middle of this. And so you see the best way to put it is you see the personal and the real effects of like what doing the right thing in an environment where doing the right thing is not necessarily the easy thing, the effect that takes on people. So it's got that layer on top of this really cool story between the director, Steve, and I, where we kind of rip on each other a little bit on our politics and we develop a genuine friendship over that. And then also, again, you get some inside stuff on January 6th. So I call it like kind of a three-level documentary. And it's got great reviews, great ratings back in the film festivals. And now it's on demand. You can get on Apple TV, Amazon Prime, I think YouTube TV. And go take a look. You won't regret it. I have yet to find a person, single person that has at least commented like, this documentary sucked. Don't watch it. It's all really good. So go watch it.
Genuinely very well made, very captivating. And it's a perfect 90 minutes, which I think is a great length to tell a narrative or to tell a story. I highly recommend it. I'll link it below. How did you feel about the government shutdown ending just last night? Or it's not over, but it seems like 8 Democrats are about to cave. How did you feel from an optics perspective? Do you think that it was about time? I've heard arguments that, you know, it was about time for the shutdown. And a lot of the core Democratic base is really unhappy. What are your thoughts?
Look, I've sat in these rooms. I've been in the middle of these shutdowns. And I will tell you, of anything I've done, this is when the pressure comes down the most, right? Because you start hearing from constituents that aren't getting paychecks. They're obviously canceling flights and everything else. But you have to look at the totality of it. If Democrats were taking the mass blame for what was going on right now, then I think what happened would have been the right thing. And I also want to be clear about something, which is, it's not like there's 8 Democrats that basically decided to fold and all the other Democrats in the Senate are like, gosh, why'd you do that? They agreed on the 8 Democrats that would fold so that the rest of them could vote no, right? So who are these 8 Democrats? Well, a couple are, you know, have been voting to reopen government the whole time. But some of them are, I'm not running again, or I just got reelected, right? So people that are willing to do it. So this was a decision by Chuck Schumer. Now, what's been happening? Mike Johnson has kept the Republicans at home for 6 weeks. By the way, they've gotten 2 paychecks since the government's been shut down. The gross payment on that is $30,000. Each member of Congress has made $30,000 while paychecks have been withheld from everybody else. He's continuing to build his grand ballroom. Right? Republicans have said all year that they have no desire to negotiate with Democrats. They've bragged about it. We don't have to talk to them. We own all of government. Democrats are pointless. All of a sudden, Democrats get a tiny shadow of power where they can kind of compel a little bit of a acquiescence the only time they can do that. And they were winning this narrative. And then all of a sudden, this is a collapse. So look, I understand the pressure to do it. Like, I don't think these are necessarily cowards. I think these are people with good hearts that are out there because they care. But they had an opportunity. And now we're going to be faced with some version of this again at the end of January. What's going to happen then? Do you start the pain process all over? And I mean, Republicans were making it clear they were ready to come to the table. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see how this works out.
It's pretty disheartening that we got basically 0 concessions other than a vote that won't go anywhere. But I mean, on the flip side, healthcare is now a national issue. It's at the forefront. Mm-hmm. One of my friend's moms was on the ACA. She's reliant on the ACA subsidies, and she didn't know until this. Now she's apolitical, and she realized, wait a minute, I'm reliant on these exact subsidies, and she's watching to see what happens in December when the next vote on these subsidies happens, which Republicans will vote no. So at the very least, I guess it was pushed into the forefront, if you want to be glass half full. But I think this is indicative of a Democratic Party that is, you know, quite risk averse and not putting up the fight. And people like Governor Newsom are trying to lead the way and put up that fight.
Yeah, look, and I think you're right. I think I don't think anybody should be head down in despair. There were some victories here, right? The fact that the Republicans took the blame on this is important. You know, the fact that, the attention is now on what happens with the ACA is important. This is not a complete capitulation. All is lost. It's all over. But I think the Democrats have got to show more fight. And you know, I think back to the very beginning of the year. You know, Congress was sworn in. Then Congress goes home. And for 2 weeks, DOGE, this fake agency, comes in and wrecks the federal government. And Democrats and Republicans are kind of sitting at home doing nothing. Democrats should have been all in, should have been trying to enter every building where DOGE was, going and getting court orders to force entry, because they are the, in essence, board of directors of these things. So that's how you fight. And also putting out the message of what your majority is going to be like. The $400 million Qatar jet. Look, when we take the majority, we're going to have hearings on that. We're going to have hearings on this, on the, you know, X, Y, and Z. That's how you kind of put out there for the American people, like, what we're about. And I think show them that you're willing to fight as much as anything.
Yeah, that's really clever. I really like that. And just talking about what the next DOJ looks like, or what the next, I don't know, FBI looks like, how there are going to be consequences. You know, as we were filming, as we were getting ready to record this a few hours ago, just it happened to be today, Donald Trump announced that he was pardoning Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, and a few other allies that overturned the 2020 election. Now, this is a pardon that applies to federal crimes. None of these were federal crimes that they committed. They were committed in the states of Georgia, Michigan, Arizona. But I feel like this is a broader effort to not only muddy the waters, but just erase the history about January 6th, which is why this documentary, the one that we were talking about, is uniquely important at this moment in time. But how do you feel about the Trump admin's attempt to rewrite what happened? And like, it just disgusts me that he tried to overturn the election, and most Americans don't seem to, it's not as tangible to most people, which I get.
And so what's going on is they keep kind of coming back with these pardons, with saying it never happened. The interesting thing, Adam, is like, when I was doing the January 6th committee, Republicans would come up to me all the time and they would say, just focus on the future. Like, let's get past the past, focus on the future. January 6th happens. So then Donald Trump wins again. And the obsession is January 6th. And it's because Donald Trump knows he's shameful. He knows what history is going to record about him. And so, yeah, he's doing what dictators do to try to erase this. And so the other thing he's doing by, you know, preemptively, I guess, kind of preemptively pardoning or pardoning somebody that has no really federal crimes against him, is sending a message. If you do my bidding, this is what the whole, you know, pardoning the Proud Boys and all the January 6th rioters was about, or insurrectionists was about. If you do my bidding, I've got your back. And that's the key here. If you do my bidding, I've got your back. And that should chill all of us.
Yeah, a few things. First of all, when The Last Republican 2 comes out, we can do the Bender scene. We can actually have the full-out Bender scene where we all wake up and we're like, that was all just a dream. But secondly,
I like it.
Thank you, Adam Kinzinger. Check out The Last Republican below in the description. And we'll have to chat again. This was great.
Yeah, anytime, man. Take care.